Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today our main focus is going to be on some news that is just coming out a little bit before streaming the episode here tonight. We have significant price cuts in China on Tesla vehicles, the Model 3 and the Model Y. So we'll talk about that here in a second. First, just a quick look at the stock today. Tesla down 2.9% to $110.34. The NASDAQ down 1.5% on the day, so Tesla trading pretty closely in line with where its beta would suggest it would normally trade. So we'll move on from that here pretty quickly and get into the main news breaking this evening. That is Tesla's price cuts in China. So the Model 3 now starting at 229,900 RMB. The Model Y starting at 259,900 RMB. If we look at a table here that I put together to compare the prior prices to the current pricing that we have now, we can see that on average, Tesla dropping their vehicle prices in China for the Model 3 and Y somewhere between 10 to 12% or so on average. We've got a range from 6% on the Model 3 Performance all the way up to 14% on the Model 3 rear-wheel drive. So for those that are listening on audio and don't see the table here, the Model 3 rear-wheel drive in China now starts at $33,450 in terms of the conversion rate from RMB. Previously, that was $38,700, and the Model Y rear-wheel drive now starts at $37,850, down from about $42,000 previously. So $5,250 price cut on the Model Y rear-wheel drive, $4,200 price cut on the Model Y rear-wheel drive. So these are even more significant than the roughly 5% price cuts that we had back in October. Now this adds on to that. On average, those were probably $3,000 price cuts. This, on average, to me is looking like about a $5,000 price cut across the lineup. So between those two, we're looking at about $8,000. And of course, mix will change a little bit too. For the Model Y, we might see mix shift actually a little bit higher than what it was before, because we're seeing a lower price or a more steep price decline on the long range Model Y than the rear wheel drive. And then opposite case for the Model 3, where we've got a 14% cut on the opening price version and only a 6% cut on the Performance. And that's going to obviously shift the mix more towards that rear wheel drive standard range vehicle. So across those two price cuts, if we assume that's roughly going to be an $8,000 hit on average selling prices, that's going to likely cut Tesla's profits for Tesla vehicles sold in China by probably a little bit more than half. If we look at Tesla's profit on an average basis, it's, you know, somewhere around $15,000 per vehicle. So if we're talking about an $8,000 price cut, and we assume Tesla China margins are somewhat similar to worldwide averages, my hunch is they're probably a little bit lower, and they're probably making more money on the Giga Shanghai vehicles that are being sold in Europe. If we assume that, you know, an $8,000 price reduction on that, that's probably cutting profits in roughly in half, maybe even a little bit more. Now, that also doesn't factor in any price improvements. We would expect that at this point, as hopefully we're moving into a place where, you know, costs on vehicle materials aren't quite as bubbly as they were before. Hopefully those have come down a little bit. That can help improve Tesla's margins. And as Tesla hopefully continues to increase production, remember, we've really only had 2 full months of really solid production at Giga Shanghai since those production upgrades. With those in place, this should allow Tesla's cost of goods sold to decrease significantly from where they would have been back in, you know, let's say back in September, around that time frame, towards the end of Q3. So it'll be interesting here. This is just the, you know, this we still haven't seen a full quarter where we have had the price reductions from China yet. Remember, those happened in October, so those are going to hit Q4. We still haven't even seen the impact of the financials from that, and now we're having another price cut before we even get a, you know, more visibility into that. So this is significant. It's definitely going to impact Tesla's profit. But that being said, if Tesla can end up selling, you know, twice as many vehicles, then they'll net out the same profit. So obviously it's not a great thing for margins, but it's also not necessarily, you know, the end of growth for Tesla's profits in China. There's probably going to be a reduction for some period of time, and, you know, it's, we certainly would prefer having higher prices, but I would imagine that Tesla can still sell at a pretty profitable level even with these prices. So, you know, we'll see how that comes to be. This is going to put a lot of pressure on other vehicle makers in China. I think there's going to be Tesla, there's going to be BYD that are faring relatively well, but this does push Tesla down into, you know, pretty cost competitive with BYD vehicles that are in Tesla's segment. So If you look at the BYD Seal, that would be the closest competitor to the Model 3. That starts about 213,000 RMB, or about $31,000. So it's the Model 3 now less than 10% above the pricing on the BYD Seal. Now, BYD does have vehicles that come in below that price point. So that's obvious. Those vehicles are obviously big volume drivers for BYD. So, you know, this isn't going to magically just drive Tesla sales up to be equivalent with where we have seen BYDs over the last couple of months here in China. But it does put pressure on them for sure in that segment. And obviously, we just talked about Tesla likely still having some pretty decent margin on these vehicles. You know, BYD, if they are forced to react to this from Tesla's pricing, that could put them in a position where, you know, they're just not in a strong margin position. And like I said, BYD probably the best position to deal with this of any of the automakers there in China. This is going to put a lot of pressure. You know, if you're sitting there in your Volkswagen, your Mercedes, your BMW, you know, I don't know how you map out your game plan in China right now when you're competing with both BYD and Tesla in these segments, and you haven't even gotten your business to be ramped up in EVs enough to even start even sniffing profits at all, and you're having to compete with these two companies that are now relatively highly scaled and driven their cost of goods sold down. You got to compete with that, and I don't really see a very significant path to doing that. So with Tesla, you know, we're talking about the margins here. The street is very focused on Tesla's earnings potential, and do we have some quarters here where maybe earnings decline or revenue declines or, you know, whatever else? Is the girl story over? Things might look like that a little bit for a while. You know, I don't think the growth story is going to look like it's over, but it's certainly going to slow down, especially with these price cuts in terms of the earnings growth rates. But at the same time, you know, this is what Tesla has kind of been for a long time, right? Like, went through a couple of decades of Tesla not even making any profit. And obviously that got them to a position where they were then extremely profitable. So, you know, it's going to ebb and flow over the years. And it's not to say that these things aren't valid and we shouldn't be looking at them. And I think we've done a really good job on Tesla Daily of doing that. And, you know, production did come in lower. There's obviously been demand issues in China, hence these very significant price cuts. So it's very important to keep our eyes on that. And obviously we've seen how the markets react to that. But at the same time, you know, this is still, we're still in a very early stage in the EV market. And there's a lot of game left to be played. So it's not too surprising given Elon's comments that we see Tesla here sacrificing a little bit of profit, a pretty significant chunk of profit, in favor of continuing to establish market share in China. Whether this ends up being the right move long term, or if Tesla should have stayed a little bit at those higher prices, we will see. But Tesla's aggressiveness in this stage is quite clear. So we do also see them cutting prices a little bit in other countries nearby Giga Shanghai, that Giga Shanghai would be shipping to. So it looks like Tesla has cut prices a little bit in South Korea, as well as in Australia. Now this, again, just happened, so I haven't had as much time to look into exact changes before and after in those markets, but if you are in those markets, let me know kind of what you're seeing there in terms of the percentage decreases that we've seen from Tesla today. So a lot to digest there. We'll continue to get this into financial models, see how this impacts things. It is going to be significant. But hopefully with these price cuts, we see a lot of demand come in for Tesla. And whether that shakes out in more profit or not, as long as Tesla is still sort of aggressively growing, I think the focus on Tesla's exact profit today is not unimportant, but it's also not probably the most singular important thing to be focused on with Tesla's business. Although I do think that that really is what the market is sort of worried about or concerned about and focused on right now. All right, so moving on from the price cuts, we do have an update on production as well. Wuhua here providing us some drone footage of Giga Shanghai here in the new year. And he says that on January 3rd, Tesla did resume work at Giga Shanghai. Not sure if it would have happened any earlier than that. He says that there were some rumors of it being a little bit delayed because of the COVID situation there, but that does not appear to be the case. So not sure if it was January 1st, January 3rd, whatever the case may be, but he was out here on January 5th and seeing the factory as busy as ever. So even with some of those things, Tesla has seemingly fully resumed production, at least here until Chinese New Year. All right, next we've got an update on the Model S and Model X. This kind of throws back to the original days where we had seen the refresh and there had been photos of the steering wheel and a steering yoke. And when the design studio came out, we eventually just had the steering yoke as the singular option. Tesla has now added the steering wheel as of an available option as well. Both are included free of price. Well, both are not included, but both options are included. So you can choose either one, no price difference on those. The steering wheel looks like it is actually the default option. Interestingly, I would have assumed the yoke, but looks like Tesla's made that the default option, but obviously customers free to choose in that regard. So interesting to see that. I don't know. I've used the yoke once and I didn't mind it. I'd probably, if I were configuring, I would probably still go with the yoke. All right, last few things here. Tesla has apparently withdrawn tax relief request in Texas for $375 million related to the lithium refinery that we talked about yesterday and in the past. Apparently, the county judge said that it was Tesla that decided at the time that any further tax abatements were no longer necessary for them to move forward with the proposed refinery. So that's still going forward. And for whatever reason, it sounds like Tesla has decided to withdraw their request for tax abatement. That's an interesting move. I'm not sure what the incentive for Tesla would be to withdraw that, but you know, definitely would be a decent chunk of tax abatement there if Tesla had gone forward with that they seem to be not interested in for whatever reason. Next, then, an update from TeslaScope here. They have learned that because of some requirements from NHTSA, Tesla is going to be removing some features for remote window control within the app and some of the automatic closing features that exist today. I know we had previously seen, I think there was a recall because of a finger getting stuck in one of the windows when it was closing or something like that, or it applied too much force in testing or something like that. So this would, I think, be a follow-up to that. Sounds like Tesla will be remotely removing the ability to remotely control the windows via the app, automatic closing upon lock, and automatic closing when in car wash mode. So disappointing. You know, it seems like a little bit of over regulation in that regard, but I haven't looked at these regulations closely enough to determine if there is something that Tesla could be doing a little bit better in that space that would allow these features to work. So I don't want to be overly aggressive in my commentary there without having done that background, but it is disappointing to see that those features would be removed, at least for the time being. We have an update here from Mercedes, probably one of the more inconsequential updates that we have on Tesla Daily. Mercedes is launching an electric vehicle charging network in North America. So we'll see how that goes for them. I don't anticipate it to be a very, very big thing for them, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how they do. Mercedes is more of a luxury premium segment company. I don't know. Doesn't really make sense that they would get to the scale that this would offer much value to their customers, but we'll see on that. Anyway, Dodge has also at CES this week announced the Ram EV pickup truck. They expect this to be available in 2024, which I think is an aggressive timeline, but you know, we'll see how they do on that. They announced a lot of the different features. We don't have, I don't think, anything on pricing or sort of range or battery or some of the more core components of things, but we do have some nice renders there, so you can kind of see what their idea for the truck looks like from CES. And that is it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, January 6th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.